Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Background music affects our experience of movies and TV dramas. I remember tuning into a program featuring great movie scenes, and one of the points made was the influence of music in movies. One of the most iconic was the 1975 classic Jaws. If you like thrillers, you should rent it. The film had a troubled production, going over budget and past schedule. Because the art department's mechanical sharks suffered many malfunctions, Steven Spielberg, the director, decided to mostly suggest the shark's presence by way of an ominous musical theme. It was eerie, a deep bass type of thumping like a heartbeat. The camera on the water, the victim getting closer in view, the sound of the thumping, the shark not in the scene, inching its way to its victims. That music was a deliberate backdrop to suggest the shark's foreboding presence. There is foreboding background music in today's gospel, the 13th chapter from Mark. It is apocalyptic in nature, and it snuck up on the disciples. They were not prepared for the ominous sounding message of Jesus. It shook them. That is what apocalyptic literature is supposed to do. Shake one out of a complacent attitude or a false sense of security. It does this by pointing toward ultimate divine purposes. It does it by being prophetic or describing a cataclysmic scene, as Jesus did, the destruction of the temple. But apocalyptic literature ultimately points to God and God's victory over the forces of evil. So Jesus was engaged in an apocalyptic message in this gospel. But to understand it, we need to understand the history and the importance of the temple. The temple was honored and central to Jewish worship. The history of the temple and its relevance was handed down and a part of their lived culture. Like an old book of loving photos of your grandparents, treasured. The temple was more, though, than a lovingly remembered building. Its importance had power and reverence for centuries. This temple in Jerusalem was engineered around 957 before the Common Era, before the birth of Christ. It was built under the leadership of King Solomon. It was a most impressive structure, built with expensive gold, silver, jewels. Look it up in the first book of Kings, chapter 6, if you really want to hear how incredible this building was. But this treasured temple was raided by the Egyptians in 853, attacked by the Assyrian army in 700, then finally destroyed by the Babylonians in 586. In 538, construction began on a second temple, not as magnificent as the first, but it galvanized Jewish pride. 20 years before Jesus was born, Herod the Great began a renovation project on this temple and made it an even more important looking building. So with all this history, feelings about the temple were a core part of Jewish identity in this time of Christ. Thus, the exchange that began in chapter 13 of Mark's Gospel was out in left field, and it took the disciples completely off guard. So as Jesus is leaving the temple, and one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." These stones that the disciples are referring to are huge, 37 feet high, 18 feet wide, one stone larger than my living room. And the stones were like a blinding white, the kind of white stone you see at the Getty Center, or they were merely covered entirely with gold. So the disciples exited the temple with excitement, with pride, and with awe. And Jesus crushes their enthusiasm with a foreboding, ominous message, describing the unthinkable, the destruction of this most beloved temple. The disciples can't believe what Jesus has just said and asks him, "When will this happen?" He won't say. Instead, he goes on to warn the disciples of deceptions and tragedies, but how to live life in the present. However, at the end of this chapter, Jesus spoke as clearly as he could. But about that end day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. Keep watch. Well, it has been 2 millennia since these words were spoken. Nothing has happened, so maybe they don't apply to us. Maybe we don't need to pay attention to today's gospel. Not. We all know that nothing is permanent, and human life does not last forever. We experience it for ourselves, and we hear stories in the news. Recently, a young man was murdered by gang violence because his backpack was the wrong color. He was in high school, walking home, not a member of any gang. He was simply walking home from school, but wearing the wrong colors, and he was shot to death. That tragic loss of life is even more heart-rending when we go deeper into this message from Jesus, because Jesus is saying, look beyond appearances. Yes, Jesus saw the grandeur of the temple, turned to the disciples, and stopped them in their tracks when he said, this won't last forever. Nothing you have will last forever, not buildings, dreams, or your health. The stones will fall. What we know changes. Nothing lasts forever. King Herod finished his remodel of the temple in 63. 7 years later, it was destroyed by the Roman army except for one wall, the Western Wall, which we also call the Wailing Wall. So at the heart of this gospel is a message, as valid today as 2,000 years ago. It is this: look beyond appearances. Each time your world changes, you are invited into a deeper relationship of faith in God. But how do we survive the cruelty of violence, the diagnosis of an aggressive cancer or other illness or devastating news of any kind? How do we survive the loss of innocence or the sober reality of addiction or a handicap or even the slow process of getting old? How does one keep looking for employment week after week? How do we live in the midst of a society with competing values? Therefore, how do we regain perspective if we focus on the signs or messages we don't want to hear or face, issues that frustrate us or have ruined our faith? Jesus began to tell his followers a way forward. Our focus must not be on the end time dramas that confront us or painful problems that won't go away. A crisis in our lives is not a reason to run away. Within it is the voice of Christ inviting us to accept more of divine light. Divine light, grace, is the presence and action of Christ in our lives, inviting us to let go, enter into new values, the new perspectives that are being born in us every time we let go and trust God. Jesus encouraged this, a willingness to look beyond the present, to look beyond appearances, and to trust God, even if it simply begins with one word, hope. Jesus tells us in this gospel that things do come to an end. But this chapter goes on to say that God will be in the midst for a new creation, a new order, a right order. Jesus said, be attentive, be watchful, hold on to the center of it all, God. At the heart of our Christian faith is Jesus, the Son of God, who will come again. There is a second coming. But we do not know what it will look like, and that is not meant to be our concern. Our concern now and at the end, may it be, did we love God, love others, and serve the world? Did we live with faith, with hope, and with love? The point of apocalyptic literature is that God will rescue the world from evil at the time of God's choosing and establish a new way, new righteousness. We do not need to concern ourselves with apocalyptic speculation or concern ourselves with end time predictions. Like the Mayan calendar says the end of the world will happen next month. We are asked by Jesus to look beyond the heaviness of this present age and look to God. In fact, you have it within you. It is the kingdom of God within you. The kingdom of God belongs to those who have let go of a possessive attitude and lives with open hands. But sometimes we carry a burden that is like heavy background music, a constant thumping, deep and heavy. But today, believe in a new vision. Stones will fall, but God is present and will ultimately lead the way forward. Amen.